You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
Hey, what's up, everyone? I'm Matt, the vocalist of Cryptopsy and the host of the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast. Brought to you by Sound Talent Media and Evergreen Podcasts, where I sit down with fellow metal musicians to talk about their lives, music, and craft beer. I hope you've been having a glorious week so far. I most certainly have been. Before we jump into today's episode, I'd just like to ask you to follow the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast on the podcast platform of your choice. But more than that, I'm asking you to tell a friend about the podcast. If there's someone in your life that just loves extreme metal, well, you should tell them that the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast exists. You can tell them that there are over 300 episodes where I sit down with some of the best extreme metal musicians in the world. If you would encourage one of your friends to become a brand new Vox and Hops head, that would be something that I would truly appreciate. Now, today's episode is a special one. It's a roundtable discussion all about Devastation on the Nation 2022, which Vox and Hops is proudly a presenting sponsor of. Get ready, everyone. This is Vox and Hops episode number 338 with Daniel DeFonce of Metal Festival Tours, Lars Nedlund of Borknagar, Ken Sorceron of Abigail Williams and Vela Panath, Dennis Mikula of Ghostbath, and Jason Ashbury and Jesse Schobel of Stormruler.
I warn you, what you are about to hear is very disturbing indeed.
Hey, what's up, everyone? Today is a very, very special Vox and Hops episode. It is a roundtable discussion with most of the members of the bands that will be a part of Devastation on the Nation 2022, which I am very, very proud to be a presenting sponsor with, alongside Metal Festival Tours, of course. Today, I'm joined by Daniel DeFonce of Metal Festival Tours. We got Lars of Borknagar. We got Dennis of Ghostbath. And we have the men behind Stormruler. We got Jesse and Jason. How are you guys doing?
Great.
Excellent, man.
Doing great.
Glorious.
Man.
I'm very, very stoked to be a part of Devastation on the Nation. It is something that I've been a part of for a long time. Right, DeFonce?
Yeah, a few years. Huh?
This is a tour that's taken some time to get here because, you know, there was a little thing that happened such as a pandemic that sort of slowed it all down. But luckily, we are hanging out now before the tour starts because the tour is running from April 21st till May 22nd. It's a long one. You guys are going to hang out a lot. And as a presenting sponsor, I wanted to bring you guys together beforehand in case you guys didn't know each other, so you can get to know each other a little bit beforehand. I know that if I was going on tour and I had the chance to hang out with fellow tour mates before the tour, I would be stoked about that. So this is a little gift that I wanted to give to all of you. Let's dance straight into the shittiness of the questions, the way that I normally like to start my podcast. Before we can jump into more fun waters, let's talk about canceling Devastation 2020, and I want to talk to DeFonce first about this. Your reaction, you were actually one of the first tours to pull out and then subsequently reschedule, which I'll get to later. Talk to me about that mindset, the idea of having to cancel this massive tour that we had been promoting together for months and months and months.
Yeah, I mean, it was obviously kind of out of nowhere. When it all went down, I remember watching, you know, the our last president say that he's closing all the borders. And the following day, I was leaving for a trip with my girlfriend for our anniversary to Big Bend National Park. And the night before, I was like, I don't know if we're going to be able to go. Like, this is going to be, you know, I might have to like reschedule and cancel stuff. And woke up the next morning and I was like, let's just go. Fuck it. So we did. And then when we got back on the Monday or Tuesday, I can't remember what day we got back, but that's when everything went down, like rescheduling all of it. It was definitely overwhelming because I never had to do anything like that. You know, I don't think any of us had to deal with something so wild like this. So luckily, everybody was on board with rescheduling, you know, a year later. So I got it done within like a day or two. Like all the venue, like all the bands on the tour were like, yes, yes, yes. And I was like, all right, great. That was way faster than I thought it was going to be. And then all the promoters and venues just in about a day or two, like, were like, yeah, that date's available. So we just got everything rescheduled, kept everything exactly the same, just updated all the artwork. And then we announced it. And I thought that was going to happen. I thought it was going to go through a year later, but no. So
We had other plans.
Yeah, it was definitely overwhelming, though. I mean, it was crazy. I mean, it was not only like this tour I had to reschedule, but tons of other stuff to reschedule or just cancel, you know?
You were definitely one of the first to have that mindset to, like, let's immediately rebook this.
Yeah.
Why did you have that decision versus other people that were just like, oh, we're going to postpone it? Why did you have it in your mind that to book it immediately?
I don't know. I just wanted to get it done, I guess. I'm like this type of person that just wants to get shit done as fast as I can. You know, get it done the right way. I'm not, you know. But I just wanted to get it done. This is like, I love this tour and it's been great and it's been growing over the years. And, you know, the lineup we have is, I think, incredible and people love it. You know, these are bands like Borknagar hasn't been here in so long. You know, Rotting Christ too, you know, not as long as Borknagar, but Rotting Christ as well and the other bands. So it's just like, I just want to get this done and rescheduled. And if I can get that done, I think it'd be awesome and people would be really, really stoked about it, which I think everyone was. And I was like, okay, that went well, you know. But I don't know. I'm just like one person that just wants to get it done. I don't want to wait. I hate waiting. I'm very impatient.
Is it the type of thing that, like, if it's not complete, it sits in your mind and then yes. You can't focus on the next project?
Yeah, it just kind of eats at me. If I just, like, sat on it and didn't reschedule it, it would have just ate at me. I wouldn't have been able to think about anything else.
Well, props to you for that. Lars, talk to me about, it's been over 20 years. Just about that Borknagar hasn't toured North America.
Yeah. I mean, we did one festival back in 2019, and that's the only time we've played the States since the late 90s, I guess. So yeah, it's about goddamn time we come back. And that's why it was so frustrating when all this went down back in 2020, because it was cancelled like a week before it was supposed to start. And we had done some, you know, we had worked this in a crazy way in Norway just to get everything in order when it came to, you know, our kids and our day-to-day work. And, you know, everything was fixed. And then a week before it was just, yeah, no. Not going to happen. And that's also why we were so stoked that everyone was so positive to try and get this done, just reschedule it 1 year from now. And then when everything had to be, you know, rescheduled once more, then I don't know, the reaction wasn't that, you know, it wasn't that rough the second time because we'd come through that once already, I guess.
So it's to be just expected, like, yeah. At that point.
Yeah, it was kind of, you were kind of used to that right. By then, because you'd done that to like 20 different festivals and we'd done that to two European tours as well. I mean, 2020, we were supposed to go on two different European tours and a US-Canada tour. And everything was just, yeah, not one single gig that year. We were supposed to do like, I don't know, close to 70 gigs, I guess, that year alone. And everything was just, yeah, pushed. So I'm really happy that this actually came together. So we got to do it this year instead, because as you said, it's been more than 20 years since Borknagar toured the States. So it's about time. It's about time we came back and we did it properly.
Very exciting. We have another member of the tour party that has just joined the meeting. We got Ken Sorcerer on. He's hailing for Abigail Williams, but he's also hailing for Vale of Penath as well, which we can talk about because this episode is coming out a few days before the tour. Ken, how you doing?
Oh, I'm good. Just on the road, as you can see.
Vox and Hops is all about hanging out with my metal friends, talking about their lives, music, and craft beer. Ken from Abigail Williams, Vale of Penath, is cracking a beer right now. He is, the van is parked, so it's definitely not moving, and it's definitely legal. On my side, I'm going to be drinking a very special beer, something that I've been holding on to for 2 years. It was a beer that was created for the after party in Toronto. For Devastation in the Nation by Henderson Brewing Company. This is the last can that I have. It's called Devastation. Jamie Morris, the head brewer of Folly Brewing now, used to be at Henderson, and he created this. It's a block lager. It says that it's 6%, but that's a lie. It's way, way higher than that. And there was going to be a killer after party, but sadly there was no show, so there was no after party. And I'm really not going to be drinking this. I've only hung on to the can just because it was my first canned collab.
But I will be drinking. Say, it doesn't look like drinking.
Yeah.
But I will be drinking this, which is a brand new Vox and Hops collab called Omnius by Labrus Brewing Company. It's based upon the Cryptopsy song Omnius, taken from the self-titled album back in 2012. Philip Ivanovic, the Vox and Hops alumni, made a killer, killer artwork for this. It is an Imperial Black Lager, which is perfect to replace Devastation. So it's a 9% black lager. What are you guys drinking on your side? Lars, you tell us what you got.
Okay, so I have a Norwegian beer from a brewery called Toel, which means two beers, even though I just have one beer. It's called Snublejus, which is Norwegian for stumble juice. And it's a Session India Pale Ale. So nice.
How about Dennis? I saw you just took a little sip there or something. What you drinking?
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm having a bunch of people over tonight to watch the fight, so I didn't want to start drinking too early. So I got a coffee today. I just woke up. I just moved to Pittsburgh. There's a coffee house called Black Forge. It's kind of like a metal coffee house here, and it's called Nephilim. So it's like a mix of light roast and dark roast. So you still got like the caffeine, but it's still really bitter. I just drink it black, so it's pretty good.
Storm Roller, what are you guys drinking on your side?
We have a nice fine Pilsner from Milwaukee. Miller Lite.
It's got a nice old English font.
That's very good.
Nice label.
It says on the can that it is a fine Pilsner beer. And I agree.
Great label. I love the artwork.
Daniel DeFons, what are you drinking on your side?
Drinking a nice polar orange vanilla seltzer. No alcohol today, but yes, I love these. They're so good. It's like a dreamsicle.
Cheers to you all. Orange Thanks for hanging out for a bit.
Yeah, of course.
I have a shittier question about the rescheduling that came up to me as I was putting this together. Mainly for Borknagar and Abigail Williams, did you have to say no to better tour offers because you were already booked?
It's a good question. I don't think so.
No. No one wants us.
I mean, all the different tours and festivals, everything was just like up in the air. So it was kind of like the first ones to say, okay, these are the dates, would get the dates. So, I mean, that's one of the reasons why it's a good idea to do this, like you did, Daniel. I mean, just do it quickly, because then you can actually get the dates for the different bands. It's easier when you do it, you know,
all the same.
As
soon as you can, too.
So it was super perfect at first. The complete rescheduling worked out. And then Imperial Triumphant sadly couldn't make it because they got booked on something else, or one of their members was available, busy on something else.
That's what it was, yeah.
And then sadly, Wolfheart had to drop out and you had to find new bands. Take me to your mindset when you find out that Wolfheart is not going to be there and you have to fill this lineup. How quickly did you come up with these wonderful bands that are with us today?
It was honestly pretty quick because I work with Ghost Bath, and Stefan works with Storm Roller. And when I was finding out that Wolfheart probably won't be able to come over for it, I just knew, I was like, I need something for Ghost Bath. So I hit up Dennis right away. And then Stefan suggested Storm Roller. Because originally I was like, I don't want to do six bands, but Steph's like, well, if you think about it, it'll be like the same amount of sets, you know, set length as Wolfheart. So, you know, a little bit longer, like 5 minutes, but there you go. And I'm like, huh, you got a point. So I was like, okay, that's that Storm Roller, or cool as hell. And then Dennis got back to me right away for the most, you know, I think in like a day, Dennis got back to me and was like, yeah, we can do it. We can make it work. So it was just like, okay, done. And then hit up all the promoters again. You know, and all of them were fine. Everyone was like, okay, yeah, cool. Send us the art. No big deal. Hmm. No one was upset. You know, you know, some people were like, oh, that's a bummer about Wolfheart, obviously. But they were like, these are two great bands as well. So let's just, you know, let's keep it going. No point.
Thanks a lot for accepting us. Yeah, we appreciate it.
Yeah, no, I'm glad that.
It'd be really awesome for us.
Yeah, no, it definitely will be.
It's my next question, obviously. Your reactions when you received those emails, how stoked were you? Was it like, oh shit, I gotta get time off work? Was it a hassle, or was it an exciting moment? You take it first.
In the Storm camp, we're pretty used to getting by the skin of our teeth. So we said we'd do it and we'll figure it out.
We were actually in the studio. So
really?
I was recording drum tracks and like, you know, probably fucking up playing the same fill over and over or something. And I was like, and Jason's like, hey dude, by the way, remember how we were hoping to get something for the first part of this year? Well, we just fell in our lap. And I was like, you know, like drum celebration. Yeah, it's pretty cool. It was a good moment for sure.
How about for Ghost Bath? How easy was that? Yes.
It was super easy. We got kind of stuck with the pandemic where we haven't been on tour since like 2019, the end of 2019, 18? Was it 18? Yeah, the end of 2019 in October. So we've been looking for something for a while. We like postponed our album release because we're like, oh, we'll just wait till all this blows over and then we can like tour on the album, which obviously, you know, it kept getting longer and longer. And so finally, when Dan hit me up, I was at the mall and I was like, call me right now. And I like talked to him right then and there. And I like hit up the guys and we're all like, okay, we don't know if we can all make it, which we do have some fill-ins, but we're just like, we'll make it work no matter what. So, you know,
Ken, there's like the secret band, and we all know who it is. And at this point it will be announced, Abigail Williams, double duties for many of the members of your band. How are you going to make it different? How are like someone at the show going to look at this and go, without just the different backdrops being there and obviously the different songs, how are you going to make it special for the people?
First of all, the band, yes, the bands sound completely different. Also, Abigail, we wear hoods, so it's a little different. It's like, I don't think it'll be, and there's a band in between us, so it's not like that big of a, the problem is, okay, I play a set, usually I just want to like start pounding beers right away, you know what I mean? Now I have to fucking wait.
That was my first thought. I was like, wow, you're not back to back either, so you gotta wait like a band set's worth of time, and then you're like, well, I can't get too drunk. Yeah,
exactly.
That's can't go wandering around.
That's gonna be the challenge, but no, you'll, I mean, I've done double duty tours. Like there was a tour, Abigail, remember that, Defonce, we had that Abigail and Wolfhammer tour, and then
yeah,
I had to sing for Wolfhammer, and then their bass player left, and then I was singing and playing bass for Wolfhammer back to back. Like, it's no one, if anything,
no one blinks an eye.
Yeah, if anything, people like thought it was cool, you know?
Yeah.
I feel bad. Is Sieber playing drums for both bands?
Yes.
I feel bad for him. He's going to have to set up his kit. Take down his kit and then set up his kit again.
For sharing.
I was like to point out that would suck. Yeah. As a drummer.
Just gonna leave it there.
I did say, Dennis, no, Gabe cannot also play for you guys.
Yeah, we actually wanted him to play for us too.
He's just, I probably would intervene and be like, no guys, listen, you're gonna kill the guy, what are we doing here?
Shout out to Sieber, Vox and Hops alumni. He was one of the original 10, actually.
Was he really?
I think
that's
so,
awesome.
Fans are going to come to this tour because it's amazing, but there are a lot of tours going on. Why should someone come? What can people expect from Devastation on the Nation from your part? I'll chime in what Vox and Hops is bringing to the table for Devastation on the Nation later, but what can they expect? What are you bringing? And we'll start with Lars.
Well, the first Borknagar U.S. tour in more than 20 years. I mean, can you imagine how stoked we are to finally come back and play? I mean, there's going to be just a whole lot of fucking energy coming from that fact alone. And also, I mean, since we went over and we played the Maryland Death Fest back in 2019, which was that's the only gig we've done in the States for the last 20 years. And just the audience was so amazing. Just finally getting to see our fans on that continent. So I think what you can expect from us is for us to give you our all, you know, we're going to give everything we can. To make sure that we make this, you know, the best tour that we've ever done.
Hmm. How about Dennis, Ghostbath? What's Ghostbath bringing to the table to Devastation on the Nation?
For us, I mean, it's our first time touring since 2019. Like I said, we have this brand new record out. We're going to be playing all brand new songs. So we've never played any of these live. So people will get to, see that for the first time. And we're going to be itching to play live. We're not going to take it for granted anymore. We're going to give it our all every night. And I think people will really enjoy it. Yeah.
Stormriller, is this your first big tour?
Yeah, this is going to be our first big support tour. And on top of that, we're going to be playing some stuff from the Underburning Eclipse, but we've also got some new offerings to show what we're about. So,
yeah, plus I'd like to say that even if we weren't on this tour, I'd definitely be going because I want to see Borknagar. I'm a big fan of Borknagar.
Before Stormriller ever really got together, I remember sitting in an apartment drinking, talking about next time Borknagar actually comes to the States, we need to go see it. So.
Yeah, okay. So super psyched to check them out nightly.
How about you, Ken? Ken, double duties, both bands. What can people expect? You are on tour right now with Vail, so how are you going to make that different?
We're going to play even more new material for Vail, and also Abigail will play some new stuff as well. Stuff no one's heard, I mean, this is only my first tour with Vail, but I can say, we do pretty, I say we put on a pretty good live show. So, and Abigail, you can expect what people have seen a million times already from us,
More fog, though, this time.
More fog.
So are we sharing fog machines? Better. How does that?
Triple fog machines.
Bring your own fog.
Bring your own fog, but
we bring one that,
under an Abigail.
Yeah, we bring one that really pumps it out. So if you need fog,
the black metal must.
This is Krista Makes, guitarist and vocalist for Less Than Jake, and host of Krista Makes a Podcast, a songwriting podcast where every week I'm joined by an amazing guest to break down the writing, recording, and release of one iconic song from their career. In our giant evergreen back catalog of episodes, we've had rock legends such as Dee Snider and Huey Lewis, punk rock favorites like Mark Hoppus, Fat Mike, and Brett Gurewitz, and up-and-coming artists of today such as Liz Stokes of The Beths and Genesis Owusu. We've had guests from all genres and styles of music, and I guarantee that if you peruse our back catalog, you'll see several episodes that'll make you say, man, I gotta hear that. Whether you're a fan of music or a creator of music yourself, you'll take away a whole new appreciation for the songs you know and love. Krista Makes a Podcast is available for free on all the places you could possibly listen to podcasts, and new episodes come out every Monday.
On my side, Vox and Hops is going to be bringing some very cool after parties in a few of the cities. I've been working quite hard throughout the past few months trying to find very cool metal breweries close to the venues so that there can be either a pre-show party, after-show party, exclusive beers that will be available at some of the events. If they're not available at the event, they will be available at the brewery. If there are exclusive beers that are made, there will be cases that are going to show up in tour buses. So you guys can all enjoy the fruits of my labor to help make Devastation on the Nation a little bit more fun for all of you. It's going to be fun. Here in Montreal, there will be an after party at Turbo House. I will be there. We're going to have a good time, and there's going to be a lot of very, very cool beers that I'm going to have selected, especially for that occasion, and we're going to have a blast, as well as in Quebec City. You got to walk up a hill. I'm warning you in advance. It is a very steep hill. But there is a party happening in Quebec City as well. I've been on many tours. As I mentioned when I started this off, I would have loved to have had an opportunity to meet the people that I'm going to be on the road with for over a month to get to know them a little bit better, to help the tour run more smoothly. What would be some advice that you can give each other so that you don't get on each other's nerves? Who wants to take that one?
Who wants to take that one? I mean, just get there on time for load in and help each other out.
I'm pretty easygoing, nothing really gets on my nerves usually. So It's hard to piss me off. It really is. Honestly.
I'll remember that.
Yeah.
How about Borknagar? What's something that an opening band has done that you've just never forgiven them for? What without naming
names? No, I mean the most common one is just drinking all our beers.
Yeah.
Keep your hands to yourself.
That's
in advance.
That's the typical one. You know, you'll find the opening band just dead drunk in your backstage area, having consumed every single one of your beers.
One and also
coming to get a shower and there's no hot water left. Mm. That's no beers and cold water in the shower.
Yep. The worst.
Noted. Yeah. So first night, Jason, we got to make sure we drink every Borknagar beer. Yes. All the pork beers. Got it.
Just to know where you start.
Yes. Right? Yeah. Start off the relationship. Nice.
Yeah.
How about you, Ken? What is something you learned right away that you want to make sure it doesn't happen on this tour for any people that are here with us now?
I can't say anyone's gonna. Nothing's gonna annoy me. I've seen so much shit. I've done like 50 something tours now. You know what I mean? Been touring since like 1999. What could possibly happen that's going to annoy me at this point? You know what I mean? It literally.
Just I'll steal your beers, pretty much.
Yeah, but even then, I just like go, oh, yeah, that happens.
Yeah.
That's karma. That's karma for the other times that you did it.
Yeah, it's not
yeah,
like,
probably.
Yeah, the last tour Abigail did, we definitely did some beer stealing, but they weren't drinking. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they were going to let them go to waste.
They were going to let them go to waste, and I hate to see that.
I mean, sometimes you have to you have to save the beers, you know, from bands that wouldn't drink them the proper way, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So you can't let them go
beer etiquette.
Yeah, you know? I mean, seriously.
You got to take care of those beers. You got to take care of them. You know, they're self-conscious, so they don't want to feel like they've been rejected.
Yeah, got to make the beers feel welcome.
Yes.
One last question, classic Fox and Hops wrap-up question. I've asked you four of you this question already, so I know your answers, but I'm curious if it's any different when you're on the road. What are your tour hangover cures? When you're on tour and you wake up and you feel like absolute dog shit because you had too much fun the night before at a Vox and Hops after party, what are you going to do?
Pedialyte, Tums, and some coffee.
Sounds about right.
Smoking weed.
Smoke some weed. Smokeable.
Yeah. Drink some Gatorade.
Yeah.
How about you, Lars?
I go running.
Ooh.
Run it off.
Sweat it off.
Lars,
right?
I'll go running with you. I run as well.
Ah, perfect.
I'll drive along beside you guys and cheer you on.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Drive along beside
buggy light.
Yeah.
I will not be running.
I mean, nothing will get that stuff out of your system like the 10K run, right?
Wow.
So, yeah. That really
just an easy 10K.
I may do a 5K. You can take the 10K.
Yeah, okay.
How about you, Ken? What do you do when you wake up and you feel like horse shit the next morning?
That's every day.
No. There's really nothing. Just accustomed to it now.
I feel like when I was younger, there were some cures, but now nothing really works. So I still do the Pedialyte. Sometimes a can of Coke might help a little bit. Honestly, I feel like complete dog shit until after we play. After sweating on stage and all that, after that, I actually feel good, and I'm ready to party again. But the trick is just keep drinking the whole tour so that you don't get hungover. So,
and you just wake up and crack a beer and keep going.
Consistency is key.
Yes. It's
true. Well, the problem with that is then you get the 2-week hangover when you get home.
And that's brutal.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
That's you come home, your family expects you to be in top shape.
Yeah, right. Because
they've been waiting for you to do all these things. There's the list of chores that you need to accomplish, and you just feel like dog shit because you were drinking with your friends on tour.
For 3 weeks, 4 weeks.
Luckily, Dennis. Our bands all live together, and so we get home and we're equally shitty. So.
Love it.
Dennis, what do you do when you wake up and you're hungover on tour?
I usually just try to sleep as long as I can. I'm like the night driver, So if we ever have to like wake up and drive, I can just lay on one of the bench seats in the van. And then usually I'll take like an Excedrin. That's my go-to medicine. So yeah, I'll usually like sleep the entire drive the next day, you know, even if it's like 5-6 hours, I won't get out of the van. I'll just lay on the bench the whole time.
Devastation on the Nation 2022 is coming up April 21st to May 22nd. Get your tickets, metalfestivaltours.com. I'm going to be there in Montreal. I am hoping to see this tour be a massive, massive success. There's already a second show happening at St. Vitus. I forgot to talk about it. Let's talk about that. Yeah. Talk to me about that, Defonce, please. The show sold so well in New York City. St. Vitus is not the biggest venue, I will say that.
But it's one of my favorites.
You're going to put on two shows in one day. That's four sets, Ken. You're going to play four sets.
Is it two shows back to back, or is the second show just Rotting Christ and Borkner?
The second show is just Rotting Christ and Borkner.
Oh, okay.
I thought so.
And whose idea it was David from St. Vitus.
Nice.
Back in 2020. He was like, would they both be down to do a late show? And I'm like, I'll ask them. And, you know, both bands are like, yeah, sure. You know, and not like you got to break anything down. You just get off stage, clean up a little bit, you know, rest, have a beer, get back on stage like 45 minutes, an hour later, and do it again.
Crazy.
Wow.
Yeah, it was just a cool idea like that. I didn't know, you know, the Borknagar guys or Rotting Christ was going to be like, what? You know, I mean, they probably were like, wait, huh? But yeah, I mean, I'm glad it worked out. I wanted to move venues, put in a bigger venue, but St. Vitus was just like, no, we want to have it here. I'm like, all right. I'm like, next Devastation.
The promoter bigger venue guy. For Midas, right?
Yeah, but he does stuff at other venues too. He has other rooms that are like 500 caps. So
nice.
We wanted to honor it at St. Vitus. You know, we didn't want to take it away from there. And, you know,
that's fair.
Because
that place is definitely a metal.
Yes.
About as metal as it gets.
It is. It is.
Absolutely. And
great hospitality. So I'm happy for the second show.
Lars, what was Borknagar's reaction to playing a second show in one night? Is that something you've ever done before?
Not with the Borknagar, but I mean, I've done double duty with different bands on the same night. I've done festivals with Solofald, one of my other bands, and just do a Solofald show and then 45 minutes pause and then go on stage with Borknagar. So, and I'm thinking, I mean, we're there to play. So if we can do two gigs in one night, sure, why not? You know, I think it'll be fun.
It's really amazing. I wonder about the fans, if it was like extra people that bought more tickets or if the same fan bought two tickets. There must be people that were so excited that they bought both tickets.
Yeah, I've seen comments from people that like bought both tickets, and I've seen comments from people being like, yeah, I can't wait for the, you know, I didn't get tickets for the first show. Mm-hmm. So I'm coming to the late night show. So it'll probably be a mix of like the people that were already there and some other newcomers as well.
Super sick. So excited. April 21st, May 22nd, get your tickets because, you know, more of these shows are going to sell out. I know that I'm going to see, as the tour is progressing, getting closer, the poster is going to have more and more of those beautiful little red sold out stamps. Yes. On those dates. I'm super stoked about this. I am beyond honored to be presenting Devastation on the Nation 2022 with Metal Festival Tours. This was an absolute blast. Massive cheers to all of you for hanging out with me for a bit to talk about the tour, getting ready for this awesome, awesome tour. Massive cheers to all of you. This was an absolute
cheers.
Pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you, Matt.
Cheers.
Hey, thank you all so, so much for listening right to the end. You know that I love and appreciate that. Man, this was an awesome, awesome hang. We had so much fun. Sadly, Sakis of Rotting Christ was unavailable for this conversation, but I am hoping to have a conversation with them when Devastation on the Nation comes through Montreal. I'm looking forward to that. You should pick up your tickets to this if you want to go. These shows are selling out. Since we recorded this, Chicago has also sold out. There are a bunch of amazing craft beers that are going to be available at 5 of these dates. I will be announcing the Devastation on the Nation craft beer releases in the following week. I'm just so damn stoked about Devastation on the Nation 2022. Don't miss your chance. Grab those tickets. If you enjoyed this Vox and Hops episode, you should sign up to the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast mailing list. You can do that on my website, voxandhops.com. That's voxandhops.com. And when you do that, you shall receive 2 emails a month, which will have all of the details of everything that has happened in the world of the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast. You'll get to see which episodes I dropped recently, which episodes I got coming up. You will get to see if I've been a guest on someone else's podcast. You'll get to see which albums the Vox and Hops album review crew have reviewed recently, and you'll get to see which albums Jerry Monk, the metal architect himself, has put on the Brutal Awakenings playlist. There's just so much going on in the world of the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast, I'd hate for you to miss a single thing, so sign up to the mailing list. The Vox and Hops Metal Podcast is brought to you by Sound Talent Media and Evergreen Podcasts. I hope you have a glorious weekend. I will be back next week on Tuesday with one episode. But until then, remember to enjoy life, metal, and craft beer. Cheers, Vox and Hops heads.
Bowie, Dylan, Marley. You've heard the names and maybe you've heard their songs, but what about the stories behind the records that made titans of music like these so universally loved and important? Join me, Josh Adam Myers, host of The 500, as each week I go through a different album from Rolling Stone Magazine's 500 Greatest Albums list from 2012 with an incredible lineup of comedians, actors, and musicians talking about how the music has impacted their lives. New episodes of The 500 come out every Wednesday. Listen now wherever you get your podcasts.